Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see our first. When I'm a roll on a honey.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, it is once again time for the weekend. That means it's Patriot Home Funding Friday on the American Adversaries Radio Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. That's right, I got my Patriot Home Funding Friday, Home Funding Friday cap on, in case you want to see it. There,
you're styling, Michelle, and profiling.
That's right. All right, we got another big show lined up for you tonight. Once again, thanks so much for tuning in. It is a little soggy out there, so if you have to go anywhere, just give yourself some extra time. Make sure you get there safe and sound. All right, speaking of sound, thanks again for listening. We are coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Of course, AM660TheAnswer.com, your smart device. And you can still download the free Answer Orlando app if you haven't already. And, of course, also on Alexa devices. And, yes, indeed, we are up and flying via the Titan Cave Cam on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. And, yes, that is Pierce Outlaw, Patriot Home Funding, in the studio with me tonight.
Hello to all your irredeemable deplorables. And, yes, it was a supremely satisfying week this week.
Oh, indeed it was. No, that's supremely, as I typed it in on the Facebook title there. But it is going to be a supremely fine weekend as well, I'm sure. I am the philosopher, political mad scientist Christopher Hart. The marathon man Nick LoCicero is indeed on the bridge as we come to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios, where the phone number is 407-774-8255. We got a Friday treat for you. Well, a number of Friday treats for you. Of course, just the show is a treat, I hope. But anyway, we got Sidney Powell of America First Politics going to be on the show with us today, former federal prosecutor, author of the book Licensed to Lie. And, of course, it is Friday, so the killer bee, Brian Blair, will join us later on in the next hour of the show. Nostradamus will be about here shortly as well. And, of course, once again, you can join us by phone or actually leave us text messages on Facebook, and we do check those during the breaks. Okay. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. I want to start kind of where we sort of left off last night, because we were in the midst of a breaking news story out of Annapolis, where their local newspaper, you know, the local rag, called the Gazette, and it's been around a long time. The newspaper been there, I think, over 150 years or something like that.
Yes, the paper, the Capital Gazette, is the paper of Annapolis, and Annapolis is where the United States, the Naval Academy, is.
Yep. And so we now know a lot more details than we knew last night. The carnage is still the same. You know, the victims, five victims, and others wounded in the process. The guy hid under a desk, you know, until they found him. And he probably hid because the police were there very quickly. And as soon as they got there, of course, they raided the place. They went right in. There's no standing around like the fella did down there in Parkland shooting. And we also know that he had a long-standing grudge with this newspaper, that the newspaper was well aware of him. A number of people within the umbrella of the newspaper organization, including the newspaper's lawyer, quote-unquote lawyer, and when I say quote-unquote, I don't know if it's you know, a lawyer, an outside counsel that they hire, or they have their own lawyer, but whoever he is, he said, this guy is going to be a shooter. You know, this guy, there were those warning signs people were seeing, and yet there was nothing effectively done about it. They actually even considered a restraining order against the guy. And the reason that they didn't do that is they thought that that would actually set him off. I mean, if you're that close, you know, perhaps what you do then is you beef up the security at the building. And I'm not trying to fault them. I'm just explaining the situation. So they did not beef up the security. They didn't do anything about it, evidently. He blocked the back door, the black exit. It's not a big building. Blocked the back exit, went in the front door, and started shooting people with a pump-action shotgun. And I know I've said on the show many a time, in an argument against, ongoing argument, against these you know, claims that assault weapons, if we just did away with assault weapons, you know, somehow the mass shootings would maybe disappear with them. But, you know, there were those kids out there in, was it Colorado, shot people with handguns. This guy did it with a pump-action shotgun. And I'm here to tell you, if he had that thing loaded with double-knot buck, that'll tear up a human body. You know, it'll do a job on you.
Particularly from close range. Almost any hit's fatal hit.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get six or seven shots, and he reloads and goes at it again. And believe me, he can do quite a bit of carnage. And if it hadn't been for the police getting there so quickly, I'm sure he'd have done more. And we don't know at this point what the final straw that broke the camel's back was, but it was an ongoing feud, if you will, with the newspaper.
Yeah, it'd been going on since 2011. They had reported on him as a domestic violence perpetrator, and then he tried to sue the paper and lost.
Right.
And then it led up to that, which brings us to what happened on Twitter and social media yesterday afternoon.
That's where I was leading to, and that's exactly right. The media immediately, even the press group that gathers on the lawn there, where the White House lawn, where the president goes and comes from Marine One, the helicopter, where they're shouting basically accusations at the president, accusations of...
The blood is on your hands, and it was even posted on Twitter by one of the senior editors of Reuters.
Right.
Put that on Twitter that Trump led up to this, and then it turned around that this feud had been going on for 5 years before Trump had ever even thought about going into politics.
Yeah, and if you listened to the show last night, or you can go back and either on Facebook, American Adversaries, or on our archive, AmericanAdversaries.com, you will hear some reluctance to say what, you know, the motivation was, and we knew so very little about it, right? And so there was no reluctance, however, in the mainstream media to lay the blame at the president's Trump's feet. And of course, it's because the, you know, the fake news label that he's hung on them, the way that he points them out at his rallies. And also, he has called them the enemy of the people. And I've said on this show that the media is a bigger problem than the Democrats in the terms of, you know, the downward spiral our nation was on, and they're trying to keep it on.
It's almost to the point of who serves who. Do the Democrats serve the media or vice versa?
Right.
It's a tough question.
But part of it, I do believe, in all fairness to everyone involved, it is a misunderstanding of the media. Basically, the media has been living a lie that started in the Edward R. Murrow years. All right, this lie that the media is somehow above reproach, that they're somehow neutral, they can be objective. When they go to journalism school, they learn how to put their feelings and emotions aside, when in fact it's quite the opposite. And if you study the history of our nation, the very first newspapers were political propaganda rags. They wasn't about the news as much as it was about politics and their guy versus the other guy. In fact, the news media has never, ever been objective, above reproach. They've always been biased, always. And it's partly human nature. Now, the difference that you have today is that you have one branch, if you will, of the media, which would include us, who freely admit, well, we're conservatives, or I call myself a conservatarian. You know, we're free. We're not shackled by these illusions of, you know, being somehow unbiased. We embrace it, and we hail it, and we recognize that everyone is. And then, however, on the left, you've got these buffoons who are out there shouting these things, the Reuters guy saying this stuff, and yet somehow they're objective. You see, they are living in their own minds this lie. And this is why they can sit up there and act so all high and mighty and take themselves so seriously. They're so full of themselves. Because they think that, well, they're trained journalists. Why? You know, they're not like some, you know, loud mouth talk radio guy. Why, they went to Columbia or George Washington University or Stanford or UC Berkeley or somewhere.
It's a bubble, and it's a closed society.
Exactly. What they learned was how to hide their bias and how to deny it to themselves. But it's there, and it comes out, and this is part of the beauty of the Trump administration and the Trump campaign prior to that as a whole, and that is that by their adamant and virulent attacks against him, they are revealing their very nature. They can't hold it back. You know, even you remember the New York Times had that editorial during the campaign, time to take the gloves off. You know, we can't be nice guys. We can't be objective journalists anymore.
They forfeited their objectivity.
As though they ever really had any. You see, this is my point. They never really had any.
Yeah, drew back the veil.
Nobody has objectivity. It don't exist in the human experience because we are subjective creatures. And we do not, none of us, have enough knowledge or wisdom, none of us, to be objective. And so it's turning on them because now the facts have come out of the matter, and there'll probably be scant little more news about this incident going
forward.
Just like
it always does.
Because it doesn't fit their narrative. You see? Now, if they can figure out a way to twist and frame this and blame it on the president, they'll hang on to it. If they can't, it gone. And they're on to the next thing.
And one thing we saw in this shooting, I've not seen any reporting, just like it all, most of the major shootings, nobody had concealed carry.
No, that's right. And as I said, if they knew this guy was out there, and yet they tied their own hands and didn't do anything about it. For God's sake, lock the doggone door. You know, my mom worked at Southern Bell when she was a young woman, before she got married. And then she worked at AT&T later on after she pretty much raised my brother and I. And she was the information operator. you dial 411.
Or zero in the day.
In the day, and it was Sarah, you know, so my mom's name, Sarah. You know, actually, when she first started out, she was. It was like Annie Griffith. Sarah, get me the post office. Sarah, and she would pull and put the plugs in.
Party lines.
Yeah. And so, but later on, this was in the 70s, she was working at AT&T at the building downtown right there by the library, downtown Orlando, okay? And so they had this, the information operators would be like 20 or 30 of them in this room, basically in rows. And back when she first started there, they would flip through telephone books. They had these little rubber things they put on their thumbs to be able to flip through the pages quicker. And later on, it was computerized, obviously. And nowadays, it's entirely computerized. So they're in there one day, one night, because my mom would work the 3 to 11 shift. And by the way, AT&T would pay for a taxi cab to bring her home. But she's working in there one night, and the door flings open, and in comes this woman, and she's screaming, "Where is that B-I, you know, okay? Where is she? I want to know where she is." Because she had called, you know, and she could, and whoever the operator was couldn't find the number she wanted, right? So she came down, and she came in the building. Well, don't you know that very next day, from that day forward, no one entered any part of that building without proper access, because they put a guard at the door and they locked the doggone doors. So at some point, the people at the Gazette had better look at themselves in the mirror and say, maybe we should have done something to protect ourselves.
Yeah. When we start guarding our lives the way we guard our money, then we'll be somewhere.
That's right. All right. We'll take a break and come back with more of the American Adversaries Radio Show. And as I said, Sidney Powell will be joining us at the bottom of this hour. Thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more, visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118. Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com, DinoRentosStudios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
In traffic, we've got the answer.
I-4 slowdown's picking up right now as far back still as Lake Monroe, and that continues through downtown Orlando. I-4 traffic continues through downtown Orlando and doesn't clear up until after Dr. Phillips. 408 eastbound is fairly clear. 408 westbound has some congestion from I-4 all the way a little bit past John Young Parkway. Highway 50 is slow from before Old Cheney all the way through the 441 and into the Pine Hills area. You have a couple of accidents, including one at 50 in Magnolia and one on 50 in Pine Hills. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're searching for the Patriot Home Funding Friday American Adversaries Radio Show, you found us. All right, thanks. And by the way, thanks, Michelle, Sue, you folks out there watching on Facebook. We appreciate that. All right, that's American Adversaries on Facebook. And if you're driving right now and you can't watch us on Facebook, you can always take us in later on at your convenience. Okay, so one way we know the media doesn't like this story is today they were back on the immigration thing, all right, and the reuniting of families and or not, and the horror stories, at least the ones they can find or generate. And tomorrow there are going to be, I guess, protests are scheduled around the country, I guess in particular along the border, you know, ports of entry there, and to, you know, protest the families being torn apart, and as they put it. And so they, you know, are driving this issue home, and they're trying now to turn it into a campaign issue, which...
Please do.
Yeah. You know, the numbers are quite clear. The Americans overwhelmingly... do not want families separated. It's not even close. But it's also not even close that Americans do not want illegals, whether they are single, families, or children, to be turned loose into society. And so the issue becomes, okay, well, how do you resolve all of this? And you do basically what the president is talking about doing, which is another horror to the liberal media and the liberals and the Democrats, is that, well, you send them all out as a family. When they come here as a family illegally, you send them out as a family. If they come here as a family legally and, for instance, are seeking asylum at a point of entry, which is the legal way to do it and the proper way to do it, then they'll have their day in court. But if they come here illegally, there is a process called expedited deportation, and it is basically the standard is you come here illegally, you go out, and you come here illegally again, and when people come here illegally the first time, it's a misdemeanor crime, okay, which is in fact punishable by up to 1 year in jail. But depending on the level of the misdemeanor, but that's what the nature of misdemeanor crime. But you come here after having been expelled, you come back, it becomes a felony. And so now the seriousness of the crime is such that you're talking about perhaps prison time of more than a year. So it becomes a more serious issue that has to be handled in more of a court setting. So the consequences are that you're not going to be released into society, but you might be released into a federal prison. And by the way, the Obama administration, when they got caught with their pants down, when all of that influx of young people were coming here, and I'm not calling them kids because many of them weren't kids. They were young adults and gang members or primed to be gang members. When they came here in 2014, they weren't prepared for it. So they had to, that's why you see the pictures of kids on concrete floors with the survival blankets and stuff like that. So long story short, They have built more facilities. So if people want to come here and go to jail, we got places to put them.
And we're going to hire more agents, and they should put the military on the border until such time as the wall gets built.
That's it. Okay, I tell you what, we got to take a break. When we come back, as I said, we'll have Sydney Powell, and I just got a message from her. But anyway, we'll be talking with her in the next half hour of the show, so please stick around for that. Once again, you can follow Pierce Outlaw on Twitter. That's at Pierce Outlaw on Twitter. I'm at Chris Hart Radio on Twitter. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. That's Pierce waving to the camera. They're hamming it up a little bit. I tell you what, Nostradamus is the big ham. Did you notice that? We'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm ham hock.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. The suspect in the shooting that left five people dead at a Maryland newspaper yesterday has been put on suicide watch. A judge was told about the watch during a bond hearing today for 38-year-old Jared Ramos. President Trump offering a statement of support for journalists after the gunman fatally shot five people at the Capital Gazette newspaper in Annapolis, Maryland. He said at the White House that journalists, like all Americans, should be free from the fear of being violently attacked while doing their jobs. The Trump administration's request for the Pentagon to house migrants detained at the border and even help prosecute them is prompting concern about strains to our military. In Congress, several lawmakers are already criticizing the move. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, who's made it his top priority to improve the military's fitness for combat, says the Pentagon is obliged to help. On Wall Street, the Dow ending down 55, NASDAQ up 7, S&P up 2. SRN News.
And the latest answer traffic now.
Authorities are searching for a man accused of sexually assaulting a young woman at gunpoint and carjacking her on Rose Bay Drive early this morning. If you have any information on this attack, you should call the Orlando Police Department. More information on the body that was found in a boat on Wednesday. The fisherman was described as 44-year-old Jeffrey Moyer. His boat, in which he was found, was tied to a dock, and the coroner confirmed that he was struck by lightning. Weather spotters confirmed that a storm had just rolled through Lake Owen. Toy Story Land is opening in Hollywood Studios tomorrow. There are 11 acres of attractions where the back lot used to be. Toy Story Land puts you in Andy's backyard as a toy-sized human where you can experience all the attractions and rides. The high is 88, the low 77 with thunderstorms throughout the day. Your AccuWeather details in just a moment. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer News Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdowns picking up right now as far back still as Lake Monroe, and that continues through downtown Orlando. I-4 traffic continues through downtown Orlando and doesn't clear up until after Dr. Phillips. 408 eastbound is fairly clear. 408 westbound has some congestion from I-4 all the way a little bit past John Young Parkway. Highway 50 is slow from before Old Cheney all the way through the 441 and into the Pine Hills area. You have a couple of accidents, including one at 50 in Magnolia and one on 50 in Pine Hills. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, that music means Sidney Powell is on the line with us right now. Sidney Powell is author of the book, License to Lie, and which you can get at the website, licensetolie.com. Don't go to Amazon. They're screwing her over. And go to creepsonamission.com to get this excellent and beautiful T-shirt that she has out there. And thank you for you listeners who have been getting them and sending us messages. You love them. I know you do. It's a beautiful shirt. creepsonamission.com. She's also senior spokesperson for America First Policies, Politics. And, of course, Sydney, once again, thanks for being on the show with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Well, let me back up the calendar a little bit this week, and go to the deposition at the House Committee of Peter Strzok on Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we know he's been paraded out of the FBI building. He's persona non grata there, evidently, but he must still be a member of the FBI because he had three FBI lawyers with him. First of all, what did you think about that when you found out about it? And what have you heard or know about anything that productive that came out of that?
Well, I wasn't expecting much to come out of it, and I don't think much did. He's certainly smart enough not to say anything differently than he told the inspector general, which was mainly rationalizations and excuses and a bunch of baloney to try to explain his text messages that really speak for themselves and don't need his spin on them.
Right.
But I was surprised that FBI lawyers were with him. I was expecting his own lawyer to limit what he said, and I expected him to say he couldn't testify about a lot of things because of ongoing investigations, or, you know, they're classified or whatever the usual line is. But I was not expecting him to be surrounded by FBI lawyers. I think that means that the kimchi is deeper inside the FBI than we even realized.
If anybody knew. And three of them. I mean, one or two wasn't enough. They had to send three. That sends a pretty strong signal just in and of itself. And of course, this was the guy who said that he wanted, he was volunteering. He didn't need to be subpoenaed. He was volunteering to tell everybody and give his side of the story. And then he brings three lawyers with him to the hearing. Now, they say they're going to do it again in public. Do you think, is it going to be any more productive, or is it going to be actually counterproductive to what the Intelligence Committee is trying to do here?
Yeah, I don't see any point to that. I know a lot of people, including the president, wanted it to be an open hearing, but it's all going to be his spin job. So we're just not going to get out of that what we want. The only place I'd like to see him testify publicly is in a courtroom against criminal charges.
And certainly you would think he could be brought up on them, knowing what these folks were up to. But it doesn't seem as though that avenue of investigation is being pursued at this time. At least we don't know that it is being pursued. But of course,
we can't tell, but we also need to remember that this is just the first part of the Inspector General's report. The part that's going to be even more damning is the part that deals with the FISA abuses and the unlawful unmaskings and what has to be criminal violations by the FBI of the FISA processes, because the FISA court itself has already found serious Fourth Amendment violations by the FBI, and the fact that it gave unlimited access to raw FISA intel to two private contractors. So, and we need to know who those two private contractors are. I'm betting Fusion GPS is one of them.
Right.
The other one could be CrowdStrike, or it could be Daniel Richmond, Comey's special super secret agent buddy that then was his leaker and now his lawyer. He could be one of them. Mm-hmm. We won't know until all that stuff comes out, but that's going to be the real kicker.
Right. Perkins Coie, possibly?
I'm sorry, what?
Perkins Coie, the law firm, possibly?
I doubt the law firm had access to the raw FISA intel, but I'm sure Fusion GPS is one of them. I mean, I'd bet my next paycheck on that one.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, of course, you've heard us talking about Fusion GPS extensively, and Glenn Simpson, they're the ones behind the Russian the dossier, the Steele dossier. They were the driving force behind that, hiring Christopher Steele and all of that. Sydney, let me sort of fast forward now a little bit to yesterday's hearing, which was a public hearing, where you had Christopher Wray and Rosenstein. And correct me if I'm wrong, But from my perspective, it appeared as though it was pretty much a waste of time, that the Republicans didn't do as good a job as they could have done. I mean, they did bore down on a couple of points, but it seemed to me they were just too scattered, too disorganized. The Democrats seemed far more focused and organized in the questioning. At some point, you got to wonder, what's the use of this if it's basically going to be a draw or nothing comes out of it?
Exactly. It was another one of those grandstanding things for both sides to make their speeches instead of anybody asking the fact questions that need to be asked that would put those guys on the spot.
During Watergate, wasn't Fred Thompson during Watergate one of the inquisitors? In other words, the panel would allow him to ask the questions to the witnesses. Couldn't they do a situation like that? I think the House rules would allow them to do something like that.
They can give their time to each other. In fact, in one of the hearings, I can't remember who was testifying originally, it may have been Horowitz, several people gave their time to Jim Jordan, and he collectively asked the questions, and we got more information there. But, of course, Horowitz was there to share as much information as he could possibly share.
Right.
Unlike these guys who don't want to say anything, and you know, that arrogant smirk on Rosenstein's face is enough for me to fire him.
Oh, you know it. And he was pointing at, I forget who the Republican congressman, he was sort of like, you know, but it was
Jim Jordan.
Yeah, okay, was it? Yeah, he was pretty arrogant. But as I said, you know, I thought the Republicans could have done a much better job. They should have bored
down. They could
down.
Have done a much better job. We need to know where the Wiener laptop is.
Exactly. As you said, asking factual questions. Where is this? Who did that? Why won't you tell us if he doesn't tell you? And if he does, then you use that as a lead to another question.
And exactly.
So maybe.
And where's the DNC server? Nobody's answered that either.
Right. I mean, they beat around the bush, and they never really got into it, though. So
the speeches just are not helpful.
No, they're not.
We know everybody on the Republican side is outraged about it, and we know the facts. And, I mean, maybe have one person set the stage with that up front, but then ask the fact questions.
Exactly. Let the chairman set all that up in an opening statement, and then you get, as you call it, to the fact questions. I think they need to maybe read your book and get a little schooling from you there, Sydney, the next time they have one of these hearings.
And I don't like the shouting from either side. I just do not like to hear people shouting at each other.
No, because then it deteriorates and you lose the effect of what you're trying to do there. And the shouting becomes the story, the whole issue, and whatever it is that you're trying to get done doesn't get done. Now, having said all of this, I know you are, you know, you've been, I won't call you a defender, I'll let you describe it yourself, but I know you haven't been as down on Jeff Sessions as other folks. You want to give him some time now that these reports are coming out. Pierce here seems to have this dude about Rod Rosenstein. Let me let him sort of give you his perspective, and then I want to get your take on it, please.
Yeah, Sydney, okay. The fact that Rosenstein yesterday answered that he hadn't really read the FISA warrant before he signed it, the fact that Trump knows everything because he can declassify anything and he gets daily briefings, and most importantly, the fact that there haven't been any leaks coming out recently, and the fact he won't turn over those documents while there is a leak investigation going on, I believe Rosenstein's a white hat, and I think that the interior of the FBI, like you said, is in way bigger trouble than any of us know.
Sydney?
I don't know. I cannot trust anybody who smirks like Rosenstein does.
And
I just really can't. I mean, that's a serious sign of something wrong.
And he is the ultimate insider there. But let's take Pierce's argument here in sort of a different direction. Do you think, however, that there are things here that the president knows and that he knows that it isn't as bad for him as it appears in the media, and that at some point that is all going to sort of come out as a bolt of lightning from the sky?
That could very well be. I mean, any investigation that's done by DOJ properly will not have leaks. and will not have all the advance warning that we seem to get from even from Mueller's team.
Right, right. And the fact that...
And we certainly didn't hear anything about the pending indictment of Mr. Wolf.
Right, right. Now, let me ask you, speaking of indictments, it was my understanding that this week, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, Michael Flynn was supposed to have another sentencing hearing. Do you know what day that was supposed to happen?
I think it was supposed to be today.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So we haven't heard anything.
Has anybody heard anything on that yet?
No, it was postponed. Mueller asked for a postponement and was granted.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Why would Mueller ask for a postponement, do you think, Sydney? And I know you haven't had a chance to decipher this, but just off the top of your head, that sounds a bit odd, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is, what, the third one or the fourth one?
Right.
At least the third one.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I still think the whole Flynn case is going to have to be dismissed for egregious government misconduct. People have called it fruit of the poisonous tree, but technically that's not the right legal doctrine. But there is a means to dismiss the whole thing for egregious government misconduct, especially if that 302 was altered by the FBI, and there's evidence of that, which I'm gathering there may be as a result of the McCabe inquiry. So it probably means that there's information that they are still developing. They may be working on indictments against McCabe, and they don't want to out all that by explaining why they have to dismiss it yet.
So you're looking at this from the perspective of they're staving off the dismissal of the charges and the ramifications of that rather than they're scurrying around to produce more documents for the judge or they're trying to work Flynn over.
Right.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, the exculpatory evidence for Flynn is a direct evidence, if you will, in another investigation.
Ah.
Yeah. Right, of crimes by the FBI.
I see.
They don't want to blow that open yet.
Okay. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking with Sydney Powell, America First, Licensed to Lie author, and creator of the Creeps on a Mission t-shirt. And these are the hottest things going right now, I guarantee you. They're really cute. So where do we go from here? Last question.
Well, Horowitz is still working on the big report. And I'm sure there'll be, you know, more hearings and more in the news every day. But, you know, there's just a whole lot to be resolved and aired yet. And I'm still hoping that Rosenstein will produce the documents to Congress that they've been asking for forever. I really don't see any excuse for that information not being produced. And his business of, well, you know, there are all these other people looking at it and redacting it and whatever. Like Jim Jordan said, he's the boss.
He's the boss. All right, Sydney, once again, thanks for being with us tonight. I know you're crunched for a little bit on the time here, so we always appreciate every second you can spend with us. You're the greatest, and it's always illuminating speaking with you.
Thank you for having me. I love your show.
Well, thank you so much. That's a great compliment. You bring a lot to it, though, I guarantee you that. All right, once again, folks, Sydney Powell, the author of License to Lie. And once again, License to Lie is about the shenanigans in the Justice Department with many of the same faces, the same characters that we see going on now. And she published this book. It was published in 2014, prior even to the president announcing he was going to run for office. So please get a copy of the book. And I know a number of you have gotten copies, and thank you for doing that. And I appreciate your compliments for her. And Creeps on a Mission, you got to get one of these t-shirts. I mean, they are really colorful, and you'll be proud to wear it, I guarantee you. LicenseToLie.com, CreepsOnAMission.com. All right, we're going to take a break and come back with more of the American Adversaries Radio Show on a Patriot Home Funding Friday. Soggy one at that, but hey, at least it's a lot cooler than it was a little while ago, right? Anyway, we'll be right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdown's picking up right now as far back still as Lake Monroe, and that continues through downtown Orlando. I-4 traffic continues through downtown Orlando and doesn't clear up until after Dr. Phillips. 408 eastbound is fairly clear. 408 westbound has some congestion from I-4 all the way a little bit past John Young Parkway. Highway 50 is slow from before Old Cheney all the way through the 441 and into the Pine Hills area. You have a couple of accidents, including one at 50 in Magnolia and one on 50 in Pine Hills. I'm Zwayne, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer.
Little swamp music for you, ladies and gentlemen. That's the name of that song, Swamp Music. All right, thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Once again, it was a great interview with Sydney, I think, because of her responses, not because of my questions. But anyway, thanks her again. If you go to her websites, tell her you heard about it on the American Adversaries radio show. We appreciate it. Okay. We're coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios, and we appreciate you being out there. As I said, in the next hour of the show, we'll have the Killer Bee and Nostra Dennis in. We'll be talking a little bit about the debate last night. Unfortunately, I missed. I caught a little bit of it here after the show, but got a little bit of, I think, the gist of it. But we'll be discussing that in the next half hour of the show. The stock market had a good day today. The economic news is still solid. The final GDP number from the first quarter was 2%, and that was not as good as what the president would like, but that's usually the weakest quarter of the year, and this quarter seems to be pretty hot. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, Pierce. And by the way, thanks to Charlotte out there, too, for watching on Facebook. We appreciate that. And Michelle, all your messages. And but correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I heard the new housing sales numbers were through the roof earlier this week.
Yes, and the new housing sales were, and existing housing was not so much, which is very interesting. But they are looking for a possible 4% GDP number for the second quarter, which more or less ends today. And the stock market rallied back, and when it is all said and done, the market did well this quarter. This morning, the personal consumption and expenditures number came out, which is the Fed's gold standard number, if you will, for inflation. And as we told you, the smartest audience in talk radio, for the past 2 months, that you would see that number rise as the March number from 2017, which was abnormally low, came out of that moving average, and the April number from last year, which was better, and the April number this year normalized that number, which the number this morning reached the Fed's 2% target inflation forecast, and the personal income was up as well. So the question now becomes, does the Fed tighten two more times or three more times?
And, by the end of the year.
Yes, by the end of the year. And the Fed has given indications of what they're looking at. They said about a month ago, Powell did in an address in Dallas, Texas, that he was comfortable with the inflation number, the PCE number, running a little higher than 2.0 because of where the economy has come from and where they want it to go to.
Now, this is the new chair of the Fed.
Yeah, and I think
from the private sector.
Yes, and I think that they have done a masterful job in holding the rates down while unwinding QE and shrinking their balance sheet. Also, Mike McBath has done a great job sitting in this chair daily speaking about the tightening of the yield curve between the 2- and 10-year notes. Two more tightenings this year should put those two numbers in about accordance with each other. Three tightenings will invert the yield curve. I read an article that came out on Monday where Morgan Stanley thinks that the 3.12 10-year note we reached about a month ago is going to be the high point of the year. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it'll be probably 3.25 to 3.35. But if that happens, that's going to be great news for the economy.
So there is a lot of economic tailwinds. There are the, if you want to call them the headwinds or head breezes more than the tailwinds are tailwinds. These are breezes, but it would be the tariff stuff going on and the trade negotiations going on. And the president stirred the pot a little bit more today by saying perhaps the United States should pull out of the WTO, which is the World Trade Organization, which is this multinational organization that basically they're there to enforce trade deals. That's where you take a complaint. If you have a complaint of the NAFTA deal, you would take it to the WTO to seek some sort of restitution, some sort of resolution to the problem. And from the president's perspective, they haven't been doing us much good. So why be a member? Because we basically fund it. And if we fund it, and yet we're the ones being taken advantage of again, that doesn't fit with the president's MO of, you know, making America great again, putting America first. That's just another way for the world organizations to get their hands in our pockets. And now, certainly, we have not lost every case we've taken to the WTO, but it is nonetheless an organization that is not living up to its potential or its purpose. Let's put it that way. And I think what the president is doing, like he often does, like he did with NATO, is he's saying, look, you know, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, what we agreed to give you money to do, we might just reconsider giving you money to do it. And that seems to shock people, you know, on the other side into rethinking their relationship with the United States a little bit.
Sure does. And I think Mike McBath has done a great job of explaining the markets daily sitting in this chair. He gave a number the other day that I don't think was paid attention, that got the attention it deserves, and that's with the Shanghai market being off 20%. That is huge for the United States. And that, along with the Trump tax cuts bringing over $30 billion of repatriated money back into the United States, that tells you that things are going good here and that Trump's moves are putting pressure on China and the countries that are treating us poorly on trade.
By the way, I thought it was more like $300 billion right away. But anyway, the investment money is coming back to the United States. And yes, Mike has pointed out what actually very few other media outlets or analysts are talking about. There are one or two out there. And that is that China is not in the greatest of position to engage in a quote-unquote trade war or even a trade dispute, as Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, calls it, because of their reliance on our currency and our money coming into their markets.
And the dollar's getting stronger, too.
Exactly. And that's against their currency as well. All right. Anyway, we have to take another break. An hour in, another hour to go. So please stick around for more of the American Adversaries Radio Show, where you now can join others and watch us live on Facebook. We really appreciate any way you can watch, listen, or participate in the show. We love you so much. And as Pierre said, you are the top, top audience, knowledge-wise and love-you-wise, I guess, right? Something like that.
FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group. It's...
Ladies and gentlemen, sit right up!
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Welcome to hour number two of the American Adversaries Patriot Home Funding Friday edition. Thanks again for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We are indeed coming to you high and dry from the relaxing comfort studios. If you don't believe me, you can see us high and dry on the Titan Cave Cam.
Hi.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's high, and I'm dry.
Yeah.
That's Nostra Dennis. You got Pierce Outlaw in the studio. I am Christopher Hart. Nicholas Cicero's on the bridge, and our phone number is 407-774-8255. Our Facebook address is American Adversaries. Our web address is AmericanAdversaries.com. Okay, so you got a multitude of ways to communicate with us this evening. In the meantime, we'll do a little communicating with you. By the way, we now know when. We don't know who, but we know when President Trump is going to announce his second Supreme Court pick. It will be July the 9th.
Hmm.
So that is going to be a week from Monday, isn't
it? Yeah, sure is.
All right. So he's going to, they're already holding meetings. He met last night with a bipartisan group of senators from the Judiciary Committee, and they discussed perhaps, or possible nominees to the court, and now the speculation will certainly begin in earnest now that everybody knows it's going to be July the 9th.
And he picked some of the Democrats that you would think he would, like Joe Manchin, like Heidi Heitkamp.
Right. And others who are
McCaskill
of Missouri, because they are up for re-election, and they're in states where Trump won big and where his popularity is still strong.
And at some point, he may ask for their vote on certain things.
Indeed.
And he already did, because didn't those three senators you mentioned flip on Gorsuch?
They did.
There were two Republicans that flipped the other way and the three Democrats that flipped towards Gorsuch.
Right. I wouldn't count on that this time, though, because the
election.
Exactly. The politics are a little bit different with the election right around the corner. And the Democrat base, they're on fire. I mean, they're like a bunch of wet hornets. I mean, they are not in any kind of compromising mood. Now, the question for a guy like Manchin or McCaskill or Heitkamp, those women.
John Tester, too.
And Tester is going to be the trade-off, right? You're going to make your base mad, but is that the trade-off going to be that you have to do it to try to get the middle ground voters, the independents, because you're not going to get any Republicans voting for you, that's for sure.
And how about our own Senator Bill Nelson? Does he have the guts to stand up and do the right thing?
Yeah, well, you know, that's another good question. Because, yeah, he's up for re-election, too. It's tight. It's neck and neck. You had the poll numbers last week, didn't you?
Sure,
showing
sure.
This thing neck and neck. Depending on which poll you looked at, one or the other was ahead by a few points.
Yeah, most of the polls were within the margin of error.
Right. So, yeah, he's another one that the spotlight will be on. I don't think he's going to go with the president, though. I think Bill Nelson is the chances of him crossing the aisle to go with the president are slim to none.
Yeah, it's the safe wrong thing to do, but yeah, he can do that.
Right.
And he has a precedent of not crossing the aisle.
And I would kind of be surprised if any of the other Democrats do as well. But, you know, as I said, it's going to be, they're going to have to make that political calculation, and each will have to look at their state independently of the others. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I had a little interesting, we were talking about it, John Siebert and I, today at the office. An interesting question. I'd like to get y'all's take on this, and perhaps our listeners on Facebook Live as well. You can type in your comments, but McConnell has already indicated that the vote for the new Supreme Court justice would take place in the fall. We all know that the Supreme Court and the way McConnell handled the Merrick Garland situation with Obama and delaying that vote was a master political stroke.
And well, it showed some guts that most of us didn't think he had much of.
That's exactly right.
All right.
And that they got Gorsuch through. And we also know that the Supreme Court issue in polling really drove evangelicals to the polls in 2016. All the polling indicated that in record numbers. Do you think that perhaps delaying that vote until after the November election to drive the evangelicals back to the polls in November, which would quite frankly go a long way towards ensuring that the House of Representatives stayed in Republican hands, would be a good play?
Yeah, that's a possibility, but I think that the president is far too impatient for that sort of thing.
And McConnell's already indicated what they were going to do, but I was just wondering, right, would that be a good strategy?
I don't think so, because, for one, the Supreme Court session starts in the first Monday in October, which obviously comes before the election.
And fall begins on September 21st, so you got about 10 days.
Right.
From then to then, if he wants to fill that spot and get a nominee confirmed by the first Monday in October, it's going to be no more than a couple of days worth of confirmation.
It's going to have to go quick because, number one, they have to vet the pick, and then it has to go through committee before it ever reaches the floor of the Senate, and you have an August recess, at least partial of August, according to McConnell, factored in there. So, yes, it is a very tight schedule.
Well, the president's going to make the announcement July the 9th. That's a week from Monday. I think he wants to get this thing done. Let me read this, by the way. This is from the Washington Examiner. David Drucker is the reporter. I'm reading now from the article. Senior Republicans are predicting that the opportunity to replace Kennedy, a swing vote on a narrowly divided high court with a young conservative who could tilt the court to the right and serve for decades, and here's the crucial part to answer your question, will galvanize the conservative base and motivate rank-and-file GOP voters to put any uneasiness with President Trump aside and stick with the party in November. Now, I suppose that could still be accomplished just with the nomination, but what he's arguing here is getting that second Supreme Court justice is going to make people feel pretty good and want to have more of the same.
Yes, and if you get another justice confirmed in the mold of Gorsuch or a Scalia-type conservative, the center of the court now becomes John Roberts.
Right.
So the swing vote, if you will, in the court just became that much more conservative.
And he sure swang on Obamacare, but for the most part, he's been a conservative justice.
Yeah. So this is good news for us.
And everyone on this list that Trump has is staunchly pro-life. So really, to me, any one of them, my favorite nominee is going to be the one with the longest life expectancy. Seriously.
Well, there are several on the short list. Do you have the list?
I don't, but okay. I can call it
There are several on the short list, and mainly their ages are right around 49, 50, 51. And there's a woman on the short list. She was actually a professor at Notre Dame, and she had just been appointed to the federal district court.
Seventh Circuit Court,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
And there is a fellow there with an Indian background, similar to Nikki Haley, Indians. And they're all, as Nostradamus said, staunch conservatives and pro-life. And so this is where I think the Democrats are going to try to crack the, shall we say, the wall here, is they're going to go after Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, and they're going to try to put pressure on them. And we will just have to see if they will stay with the president on this, or if they are going to demand, hold their vote hostage, if you will, to demand that the nominee not be necessarily adamantly pro-life. We shall see. But at this point, it looks as though the president is going to appoint someone very much like Neil Gorsuch, and that he's going to name that person a week from Monday. So that at that point, the speculation will actually be over, and the fighting will begin in earnest. But it's kind of up to McConnell, though, to get back to your answer, to your question. It's pretty much up to him, whatever he wants to do. If he wants to get this thing done before the election, it'll get done. If he doesn't, it won't.
And in this case, I trust him 100% because he's handled it perfectly so far.
But here would be my warning to McConnell, okay? The one thing that could depress the Republican base would be the idea that they couldn't even get that done, right? They don't need 60 votes, and they still couldn't get that done, and now they're coming to us, and they want more? Yep. Well, to heck with that.
That'll put second thoughts, and people just stay home. It's not that they'll vote against Republicans. They'll just stay home.
Yeah. It's like, why am I going to waste my time, right?
Yeah.
So my advice to McConnell would be, I don't know what he's going to do, but my advice to be, get it done, and get it done quickly. All right, to sort of, because the longer it draws out, believe you me, there is a positive side of this to the Democrats, and that is that they are already using this as a fundraising vehicle.
Yeah, they see Roe versus Wade on the table now.
Right. Now, they're going to do that through the fall anyway. That's already a done deal. But they will be much more effective at it if it's an ongoing sore, if you will. Get it done quickly. And then their argument loses some of the steam. Okay, they'll still make it, but it'll lose the steam because it'll be a done deal.
The decision will have been made. There'll be nothing they can do about it.
That's right. And then their base will be mad at them for letting it happen. No, man. When you got them by the nose, you kick them in the butt. You don't wait around. Now, what McConnell did with MG there, Merrick Garland, was because, you know, that was the president's nominee, and he was, you know. So that at that time, the politics were right to hold it up.
And it was an election year, election year, not just an election year.
And he could use precedent, which was the quote-unquote Biden rule, which is really not a rule, as an excuse.
Right, right. We'll take a break and come back with more of the, more of the American Adversaries Radio Show. We do have some other things. There's a proposal that Chuck Schumer has put on the floor of the Senate, which I do believe is a sign of the times in terms of the bad nature, that bad way that the Democrats, bad place, I should say, that the Democrats find themselves in right now. All right, it is a Patriot Home Funding Friday, and we'll be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepard, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdowns picking up right now as far back still as Lake Monroe, and that continues through downtown Orlando. I-4 traffic continues through downtown Orlando and doesn't clear up until after Dr. Phillips. 408 eastbound is fairly clear. 408 westbound has some congestion from I-4 all the way a little bit past John Young Parkway. Highway 50 is slow from before Old Cheney all the way through the 441 and into the Pine Hills area. You have a couple of accidents, including one at 50 in Magnolia and one on 50 in Pine Hills. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
If that song don't make you tap your foot, well, you ain't got no feeling in that thing. All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for tuning in to the American Adversaries. And don't forget, if you're going to be out looking for a new car this weekend or anytime soon, please put Sutherland Nissan on your list of places to stop by. At least give them a chance to put you behind the wheel of one of their Titan trucks over there, or one of those Rogue SUVs, or one of those great automobiles they have. All those vehicles Sutherland Nissan. That's at East Colonial Drive and Chickasaw Trail. Just tell them the Titans of Talk Radio sent you out there to check them out. And U.S. Marine and his folks out there will do their best to give you the best deal in town. That's Sutherland Nissan, OrlandoNissan.com. Okay, we got a list, and we're not knowing if this is the short list or not, but this is sort of a sample of the list of names that the president will be choosing from here. Nostradamus.
Yeah, there's 25 of them. I can do them all if you want.
Well, let's just do a handful. We'll get the gist of it here.
Yeah, first one we talked about during the break, Amy Coney Barrett of Indiana. She's U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. She clerked for Scalia. She was appointed by Trump and confirmed to the Seventh Circuit Court in October. She's a Notre Dame graduate.
And she was a professor at Notre Dame, too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
A Florida boy, Charles Kennedy. I know that name.
Charles Kennedy?
Kennedy, C-A-N-A-D-Y.
Okay.
He's on the Florida Supreme Court right now, and I know I've seen his rulings on some state issues.
Okay.
Was he involved in Bush versus Gore?
He might have been. I don't know if he was the deciding judge.
I think he's newer than that. I think he's younger than that, actually. I don't know, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it doesn't say exactly when he was appointed.
Does it give his age?
No. Okay. None of these have ages. Okay. Allison Ide of Colorado. She is was appointed by Trump to fill the seat that Gorsuch vacated when he was approved as a Supreme Court justice.
And by the way, all of these people are right around the age of 50, give or take a couple of years.
So really, the one with the longest life expectancy is the one that eats the best. So, you know, if we get somebody who's a real, like a vegetarian, say, like you, we'll ask him, what's your favorite dinner? That should be a question.
That should be in the hearings, right.
Right. Who else? Raymond Kethledge of Michigan, U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. He has a resume with something rarely seen on Trump's SCOTUS list, a stint on Capitol Hill. He was a Judiciary Committee counsel to Spencer Abraham, senator from Michigan, before he headed across the street to clerk for Kennedy.
All right, so that's a sample of some of the names, and of course, we won't know the name until July the 9th, but the White House has announced that that is the day the president will announce his choice, and they're already going through the names and basically have already begun the interview process. So now the media will be watching, you know, all the doors of the White House to see who comes and goes to talk to the president. But nonetheless, this is a monumental moment in the president's tenure, because this is what will last much longer than he.
One more we should throw out there. Yeah. Amul Thapar of Kentucky.
Yes.
U.S. Court of Appeals, Sixth Circuit. Thapar was named to the Sixth Circuit Court last year by Trump. And if he were nominated, he would be the first Supreme Court justice nominated of South Asian descent.
Yeah. And he is a favorite of Mitch McConnell. And, of course, Mitch is, right.
So, from Kentucky.
Right. So these probably, if they're not the front runners, they're at least on the list.
They're in the list of 25,
right.
Yeah.
And I believe that fellow is not, he's like 49 or 51. Once again, they're all right around the age of 50. As I was saying, this is going to, you know, who he picks and the Supreme Court justices last much longer than the president. And in some ways that solidifies or liquefies their legacy.
For a generation.
Or two, or three, yeah. or however yeah. many, depending on the nature of the decisions that they make. And, of course, the liberals, and they know this all too well, because they have tried to use the court to their advantage and have been pretty successful at that. And so this is very much neutralizing those efforts, and for a long time to come.
Well, it's about time, because if you can't get something through a legislature and you can't convince the public of it, you're going to legislate it by pushing it through a court.
That's right.
That's what's gone on for so long, and that will stop with a justice like this.
Just look at what they're trying to do with Trump and this witch hunt. They're trying to take a political decision and overturn it with the legal apparatus. Mm-hmm. That's the whole part of this stink with the FBI and the DOJ.
Well, even the Hawaiian judge with the travel ban, that was absolutely ridiculous.
Right. And that's why that one was overturned 9-0. But anyway, the Supreme Court justice will be announced on the 9th. By the way, Barack Obama will have a legacy. There is part of his legacy that's going to last a while. Okay, because most of his legacy in terms of what he did as president is being dismantled pretty handily by the current president, Trump. But the legacy that he didn't start, but he contributed a lot to, is this divisiveness in the nation and this sort of virulent attitude toward one another. Because if you remember, he was one of the ones, even before Maxine Waters, he was out there telling people, get in your neighbors' faces. You remember that?
Sure.
Get in their faces. You
well,
know.
We're going to talk health care at Thanksgiving dinner, too.
Yeah, that's right. Remember all that stuff?
Yeah.
He was the one who kind of really egged it on. And you combine that with the hard feelings over Bush versus Gore and all of that, and how the media just keeps stoking that and opening those old wounds and pouring salt in them. That legacy is going to be with us, unfortunately, for a while. But the rest of it, we can take care of that pretty handily, and the president's doing just that, making America great again. Don't it feel good? He certainly does. All right, we got another half hour to go. I hope you'll go there with us. You are listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show. And once again, thanks all you folks out there listening and watching live on Facebook.
105.5 and AM 660. 5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Chief Justice John Roberts, the Supreme Court's new man in the middle, just that the middle may have moved well to the right. The retirement of Justice Anthony Kennedy means Roberts probably will be the conservative justice closest to the courts for liberals, allowing him to control where it comes down in some of its most contentious cases. President Trump says the process to replace Justice Kennedy will begin immediately. President Trump offering a statement of support for journalists after a gunman fatally shot five people at the Capital Gazette newspaper in Annapolis, Maryland. He said today at the White House that journalists, like all Americans, should be free from the fear of being violently attacked while doing their jobs. A suspect in the shooting that left five people dead at a Maryland newspaper yesterday has been put on suicide watch. On Wall Street, the Dow ending up 55 to 24,271. SRN News.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com, Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
Folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Ho! Ho! The show. Thanks for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, we're coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios, and you still got, what, a couple hours left to get over to one of the Relax and Comfort stores and take advantage of the buy one, get one free pillow deal they got going on right now. Any of their pillows they have in stock are buy one, get one free. And these comfort foam, these memory foam pillows are excellent. They also have these new scented pillows. And so it is here tonight, gone tomorrow. So Relax and Comfort stores are in Windermere, Winter Park Village, Seminole Town Center, and the Villages in Lake County. Okay, but the deal ends tonight. So that's buy one, get one free on all of the pillows they have in stock.
Now, don't say that too loud, Chris, because if you do, then Justice Breyer and Justice Ginsburg might buy them. They'll sleep better, and they'll live longer. I'm not sure if we want that.
Well, we know Mrs. Ginsburg has no problem sleeping anywhere, including the State of the Union address. So that's not an issue.
That was after Justice Alito slipped her a little red wine, I think it was. All right. No, it was Scalia. It was Scalia. She palled around with Scalia.
Yeah, that's right. They were big buddies.
That explains a lot, then.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Mutt and Jeff.
I guess it does. All right. So, once again, the president is going to announce on July the 9th who his next Supreme Court pick is going to be. And, yeah, he may yet still have another one or two. You don't know. And because Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 84, 85, I think it is.
Stephen Breyer is 78.
78. And so it is, I mean, the clock doesn't stop ticking for any of us. And, you know, we're not trying to push the envelope on anybody here, but pull any sheets over their head before their time. But nonetheless, it is a reality of life.
People are saying this announcement of Kennedy is the Democrat candidate's worst nightmare, but it's really not, because either of the other two would be an even worse nightmare. And it will happen soon.
Yeah, because in essence, what has happened with Gorsuch is they replaced a conservative with a conservative.
It's just a swap out.
Right.
And this will just firm up the conservative side. It's not replacing a liberal with a conservative.
Exactly.
It's replacing a moderate conservative.
Yeah,
conservative.
It moves the center of the court further right, which is a good thing.
Yeah, slightly.
Because, imagine losing Ginsburg or Breyer or both, and imagine who Trump could replace them with.
And that would be a monumental. That would be
Armageddon for the left.
It would.
Indeed it would. By the way, we're getting Brian Blair lined up here, and he's going to join us here momentarily, live from the Hive. By the way, today is the official six-month anniversary of the signing. Not the passage of, but not the signing of the tax bill. And, of course, I guess in a couple of days now, it'll be 6 months from the actual implementation of the tax bill, which started January 1st this year.
How's that working out for you, Chris?
It's working out just fine for me. How about you? Do you get any more money in your paycheck?
Well, just for fun, I asked in fact, he's been a guest on our show, our CPA, Gary Smith. He's been on a couple times in the past. Just for fun, if our taxes were not... If the tax bill had not gone through, what would our taxes be? So he said, I thought you'd ask that. Pa-chink-a-chink-a-chink-a-chink-a-chink.
Right.
$1,100 difference.
$1,100 more you would have maintained.
Right.
And that's not unusual. Mm-hmm. That's not unusual.
Even more for you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Considerably more.
All right. Well, let's go now to the Hive and get him live from the Hive, and that'd be the killer bee himself, Brian Blair. How you doing tonight, Brian?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys?
Excellent, excellent. I don't know how it is over there. It's been awful soggy over here today, but it's calmed down.
No doubt.
All right.
Plenty of rain, plenty of rain, but lots to be thankful for.
Amen to that, brother.
Lots to be happy about.
All right, so let me ask you this. Who should be more happy about last night's governor's debate, gubernatorial debate, hosted by Fox here in Orlando? Did you have a chance to see it or hear anything about it?
Yes. I think, I like Adam Putnam. I think Putnam touched pulled the strings of the Florida voters by identifying himself as an insider, as a Florida person, versus Washington, another swamp dweller kind of. Even though DeSantis is endorsed by Trump, as you guys have mentioned, and even though DeSantis has actually done a great job, he's got a tremendous voting record, but Putnam has a ground game that's unbelievable. Putnam has identified himself as a strong Floridian from Florida, for Florida, and I think that resonates well with the people, and he's also... it's hard to really attack each other real hard in a Republican primary. It just doesn't usually happen, and it kind of went they got their jabs in, but overall, bottom line, I thought Putnam had a little more of the edge.
I think it was more of a sparring session than anything else, because once the general election comes, whoever is not nominated is going to hem and haw for a few weeks, maybe a few months, but eventually say, yeah, you know what? I support him.
Yeah. But I took two things from the debate last night. Number one is that we've got two tremendous candidates for the state of Florida in the Republican Party. And the second thing is that there is no question that the Republican Party in Florida is firmly behind Donald Trump.
And Adam Putnam made that quite clear last night, pretty much at every opportunity, right, Brian?
Yes, and he did a great job of articulating to the people that he would be a big supporter of the Trump agenda.
You know, the thing I don't like about this, these two guys running against each other, because one of them is going to lose, and that means they're going to be out of the game for a while. They're going to be on the sideline. They're not. DeSantis won't be back in Congress. He'll be out if he loses.
And he's doing a great job.
And I know it. It seems like this time is just the wrong time for him. Now, he may end up winning this thing. I don't know. And he'd be fine with me to be. But it just seems that this is going to take one of them out of the game. Brian?
I agree 100%. It's resigned to run, so you can't keep your job. That's that's statutory law. But that's probably the worst part of these two candidates having both two really good candidates. I just may the best man win. We can't lose as voters.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And they are both strong candidates. As I say, that's the good and the bad of it. And so we kind of can't go wrong, but once again, somebody is going to be on the sideline for a while.
And in 2020, one or the other of them, whichever loses, is going to have a place to go.
And along that same vein, and kind of off topic, another rising superstar in the Republican Party of Florida is going to be on the sideline now after this election. That's Pam Bondi.
Brian? She termed out already?
Yes, she is.
Term limited, yes.
Okay. By the way, do you have any feel for that attorney general's race? I know that Ashley Moody is a former judge from over there, federal prosecutor. She's running, and I believe she's the only one that has any legal experience of that nature. Do you know anything about her or anything about that race, Brian, attorney general race?
Well, Ashley's a good girl. She's very bright. Of course, she's a judge here in the 13th Circuit. Did a fine job. I think that she would do a great job. I think she would fill Pam Bondi's shoes very nicely.
Okay. All right. And yeah,
I also think did a great job.
Yes. Yeah. And she's got, I mean, if it weren't for Putnam and DeSantis running for governor, I wouldn't be surprised if she had run for governor. What do you think about what happened to her at the movie theater when she went to see, of all things, the movie about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and she ends up being shouted at by some protesters?
Well, the left has gotten out of control, and it's the best thing that could happen for the Republican Party, but it's the worst thing that can happen for this nation, because it's getting now and I said this many moons ago when I saw how far left and how radical that the Democrat Party was leaning, and when they first started supporting and protecting the MS-13 gangs, and it's gone from one thing that's against American backbone and principle to the next. I mean, we have never been such a divisive country, and the Democrats can only run on open borders and repealing our taxes and getting in faces and causing havoc wherever they go and being anti-Trumpers. And it's just, over half the nation are Trump supporters, at least half. So what's good can come out of this other than somebody getting hurt? And I truly feel that if something is not done before long, we are going to be seeing this country in some kind of an anarchy situation.
You're not alone in feeling that. In a recent poll of 1,000 likely voters, 30% thought we'd be in a civil war within three years.
Yeah,
by 2020 at least.
And it was it's so bad that Schumer actually had to go on the floor of the Senate the other day and tell the left to pipe down. I think there's a great hashtag on Twitter now called hashtag walk away, and it's become viral. And what it is the Democrats who are the more moderates, the people who might have been the Democrats in Georgia when I was growing up, they're more conservative, more normal, if you will, are walking away from the Democrat Party. And you can pull up on Twitter that hashtag walk away and just see story after story of how the Democrats have left voters and they've migrated to Trump.
As you walk away, are you allowed to say, I really don't care? How about you?
There you go. You walk away, walk away. I will follow. Brian, are you seeing this? Are you hearing this from people you know? Walking away, I mean?
No, that's first I've actually heard of that. I mean, I know they turned the red hen is now called the blue hen.
And they laid an egg, too.
I had to say this, that if you go to a dining establishment and the cook hates your guts, wouldn't you rather be thrown out of the restaurant rather than to stay there and see what he gives you? You know what I'm saying, Brian?
Absolutely. There's no telling what he's stuck in that.
You better believe it. But you're right, and I'm laying a good deal of this animosity, not all of it by any means, but a good deal of it at the feet of Barack Obama,
because he created the environment of this conflict.
Well, I don't know that he created it.
He enhanced what was there.
He certainly nourished the environment of divisiveness, Brian.
Absolutely.
And I think that's going to be the part of his legacy that actually sticks for a while.
Yeah, and let's not forget all of the fines of the major banks under the False Claims Act. And the fines that came from the DOJ shakedowns of the major banks and mortgage lenders and the settlements of those suits, a lot of that money went to quote-unquote charities that are the Women's March, Organizing for Action. And
basically professional protest groups.
Yeah, that was one of Obama's greatest legacies is that he used the Justice Department and the CFPB to fund his PACs.
Yeah, he monetized activism.
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, I was going to say, have you heard that there's rumblings now of bringing Obama back before Congress for lying to Congress over the Iran nuclear deal?
There are some whispers of that. We'll see if it goes anywhere.
I doubt he would show up.
I don't know. I think he would. I think he would, and he would, you know, droll on and try to monopolize the conversation and justify himself.
No, that I think that would be a bad move bringing him up there. We don't want to make the guy a martyr.
And there is that as well.
The bottom line that's really, really put the coals on the fire as of late is Maxine Waters, Cory Booker, Chuck Schumer. The three of have you ever seen a happy Democrat?
No.
Ask yourself that.
Nope. No joy at all on their side.
Have you ever watched any of the congressional hearings or anything? They're angry.
Oh, yeah.
They are also angry that Trump is president, and they can't get over that. And Trump's going to be president, and I think he's going to get a second term. So that's why I feel, again, if something's not done and there are some type of laws enacted to head this off, we are in some big trouble.
All right.
Because there's so many crazies out there. It's the same thing, people that, kill people. It's not the guns that kill people. It's people that kill people. And people are going to be killing people over the anger that is being festered by the press and these type of people.
Yeah. All right. Brian, I think you're right, but stay with us. We got to take a break. Come back. Brian will be with us on the other side of the break. I hope you will as well. You are listening to the American Adversaries on a Patriot Home Funding Friday as we get you finished. Help you finish the week, get you ready for the weekend. And, of course, we'll be back here Sunday night to bring you out of the weekend and get you ready for the next week or something like that. Anyway, we'll be right back. Yep.
FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer.
Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Oh my gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to orlandoshomeinspector.com.
Here from Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama cruises from $249 per person. Or how about a 7-night Alaska cruise from $649 per person? On Celebrity Cruises, book a balcony or higher on a 7-night select Caribbean, Europe, or Alaska sailings and receive specialty dinner for two. Get free prepaid gratuities on select sailings with Oceanic Cruises. Sandals and Beaches all-inclusive resorts are up to 65% off. Get free prepaid gratuities on select Avalon Waterways River Cruises.
Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
All right, once again, welcome back to the American Adversaries. We got the Killer Bee, Brian Blair, coming to us live from the Hive. Brian, we've been talking about sort of the desperate state that the Democrats find themselves in, both mentally and politically. And desperate states lead to desperate solutions. And I believe that's behind something that Chuck Schumer proposed this week, Nostradamus got for us.
Our buddy Senator Chuck Hugh Schumer has introduced a new bill to decriminalize and regulate marijuana at the federal level. What it would do is it would take marijuana off the list of the Controlled Substances Act, where heroin and LSD currently reside, as well as marijuana. And under the bill, advertising for marijuana and related products would be restricted for youths, and they would propose, and this is no joke here, joint research between the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Institute of Health, and the FDA. Schumer says this is simply the right thing to do, and states would then be allowed to determine their own marijuana laws, and federal laws would be against trafficking between states where it's legal and where it's illegal.
Brian, I don't want to get into the debate over, you know, the merits of making marijuana legal or not. Let's talk the politics of it. Do you think this is an attempt by Schumer and the Democrats to sort of, if you will, appeal to millennials and younger generations, who this is obviously a lot more popular with, to try to bring them home?
Without a doubt. There is absolutely no doubt about it. And eventually it's going to happen, whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. And, you know, personally, the baby boomers, there's more than 50% of the baby boomers, Republicans, that support that.
You know, and the numbers certainly back it up, and it is going to be pressing. It already is, obviously. I mean, we've had it on the ballot in pretty much every state in the union now, whether it's medical marijuana or recreational or whatever.
7 states allow recreational. 29 allow medical in some form or another.
Including Florida.
Yeah. And it had to pass with a 70% threshold in Florida, and it made it.
And it did.
Yeah. So, Brian, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, that's right. It had to pass 70% threshold, and it passed.
Well, do you think then?
That was our Republican vote.
So do you then think it'll be a fairly powerful issue politically?
Well, I think they have to look at everything. Colorado's been an exemplary state to look at the pros and cons. They need to look at every pro and con that Colorado has documented and make an executive decision based on that. And personally, I think it should be, I believe in states' rights. You know, I believe in less government. I'm almost a...
Right. It's kind of a libertarian thing. By the way, the president...
I'm a libertarian. I mean, and, I just, you know, I've had a son that's been a heroin addict. Thank God he's doing good now. But he's told me before, Dad, you know, if I could smoke pot, I wouldn't do that. And, you know, I had six kidney stone operations and learned that pressing that pump felt good. And then he found out he could get it on the streets. And lo and behold, it almost killed him. And
right.
About ruined everything. He's building his life back right now.
Well, here's some of the pros and cons, Brian. In Washington State and in Colorado, violent crime has gone down since marijuana has been approved for recreational use. However, minor traffic accidents, employee absenteeism, and ER visits have all gone up.
Huh. Well, like you said, Brian, it's something that at least now you have something you can look at and you can quantify. You can sort of quantify.
Weigh one against the other.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, UPIs.
This is what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, I don't pretend to be narcissistic.
Okay,
I truly believe my crystal ball tells me that marijuana is going to be regulated just as alcohol. They won't have to implement any new laws. They will follow the laws of alcohol.
Right.
And that will be, I will say that will be nationwide within 5 years.
Well, certainly, as I said, President Trump he's not closed the door to the idea.
That in itself would save Social Security from one new source.
Right. Brian, one last question for you. We only got a couple of minutes here. Have you noticed how well the WWE stock has been doing this week and the new deal they just signed with Fox? What do you think about all that?
Well, I'm just pretty mad that I didn't buy any stock. And that I sold mine at $26 when it was paying a 2.5% dividend.
Right.
I bought it at 19 and sold it at 26 when they were, you know, having some difficult times. It dropped back down to like $11.
Right. Yeah.
And now they're over 70.
Yeah. Over 75 today. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think Vince has got it going on. And, you know, he's the biggest show in town. And I don't see anybody, you know, taking over.
It certainly doesn't seem so. That's for sure. Yeah, I had some WWE stock, and when McMahon, when they were all our SmackDown would come, and we'd go to the matches there, and whenever McMahon would come out, I'd go, "I own a piece of you, McMahon. You owe me. I own you." Even though I didn't have more than 100 shares at any given time, right? But it still shows, though, the power, if you will, Brian, of professional wrestling and the fact that it is still a major form of entertainment, not just in the United States, but worldwide. And I think we just lost Brian. Yeah, we just lost Brian.
Yeah, wrestling does great when the economy's good. You remember there was a surge in the
popularity.
It does
good all the time.
Yeah, but there was a real surge in the popularity of wrestling during the 1980s.
80s and 90s.
During the Reagan revival of the economy.
Here's another thing to consider. They signed this new deal with Fox. It's not a done deal by any means, but Disney is in the process of purchasing Fox.
Right. Yes.
So they'll technically be working for Disney when they're on Friday night. Imagine that. Imagine
that.
Those princes and princesses strutting around.
The wonderful world of Disney. Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. That's about going to wrap it up for us tonight. Larry Elder is following us now on these channels, except, of course, for Facebook. And once again, thank you, folks, for watching and listening on Facebook. That's awesome. And if you weren't able to watch, you can check us out at your convenience. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. And you can follow Nostra Dennis on Twitter at Nostra Dennis.
Yeah, two N's.
That's D-E-N-N-I-S. Nostra Dennis. Okay, once again, thanks for tuning in tonight on a Patriot Home Funding Friday, myphf.com for any and all of your mortgage needs. And veterans get a discount, right?
That's correct.
On the fees. Night, everybody.
105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group.
It's 7.